Well, I'm glad the Lord brought you here today. That is a joy and a blessing, and it is good to be able to celebrate a Father in heaven. It is a blessing to have a good earthly father, and that is a joy. But it is even a greater blessing to have our Father in heaven. Because no matter what we've come from or what we make of it, Father in heaven is perfect. And He deserves glory and honor. He deserves glory and honor. You know, different than Mother's Day, Father's Day has more baggage. Father's Day has more baggage because there's just some dads that have not done a great job. And so a lot of us and a lot of people struggle with relating to our Heavenly Father because of their earthly fathers. And so I hope that for those of you that are here as fathers, be the father your kid needs. Be the father your kid needs. And most importantly, your job as fathers is to point them to our Father in heaven. I was telling in our Bible study this morning, I got to have lunch with one of my boys this week, and the greatest part was just to hear his life right now and his faith, and just to know he's headed in the right direction. And to me, that's it. That's all I needed. My boys texted me this morning. They dinged my phone, and I got the obligatory, "Happy Father's Day. I love you. You're great. You're the best." Yeah. Whatever. What matters is my boys are finding their faith in the Lord. And I love them because He loves me. And church, we know this. We're going to be reminded today that our Father has done everything for us out of His love for us. We can't always see it, and we want to question it, and we want to worry about His motives, and we want to ask why we're having to go through this, and why we're having to go through that, and why isn't it always easy? Why isn't it always happy? Why isn't it always just taste delicious and filled with, you know, flowers and sunshine and ice cream? I don't know. Well, growing up's tough. Growing up's tough. You know this. We all have growing pains from when we were kids. Well, growing up in the Lord is tough too, because you and I are being made to be eternal. We are being made to be eternal. And if you're going to be worth hanging around forever, we probably need to be the kind of people that we might actually want to be around forever, right? Yeah. Some of us have a low people tolerance, don't we? Got to get away from people. Well, we may want to rethink that. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we will get into our lesson today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being our Father. We thank You for showing us what love is supposed to look like. We thank You for being consistent. And we pray, Lord, that looking at Your gift to us today will make us more faithful, so that we can hear Your words of pride when Jesus returns, so that we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, that's all we want. That's all we want. We want to glorify You with our lives, and we want to be with You in eternity. Help us do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, Kevin read for us, and the Apostle Paul in this letter, and again, we've been reading Ephesians because John's gospel was originally written to the Christians that were in Ephesus. And so we've been seeing, hopefully you've noticed, the story of Jesus through John's gospel just correlates wonderfully with Paul's message to the letter of Ephesians. And so all the lessons are really just going together. And in the second half of Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes to the church, and he juxtaposes these two things, and he says, look, here's what your old life looked like. This is a description of who you were and where you were before Christ. And now that you have come to Christ, now that you have put on the new self, now that you have been made anew, now that you have been recreated in the image of God, this is what that looks like. And so today we are going to see in the life of Jesus, we are going to see the perfect picture of this new life. What it means to live and to walk and to breathe and to speak with the Spirit of God dwelling in you and filling you. That's what we see in the life of Jesus. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Last Sunday we saw, if you're not sure exactly where we are in the story, last Sunday we saw Jesus get arrested and then taken to the court, it wasn't a real court, but taken to the garden of the high priest, and we saw the denials of Peter, and now we're going to pick it up in John chapter 18, verse 28, because now the Jews have taken Jesus, and they are escorting him to the Roman authorities. They're taking him to Pilate. John chapter 18, verse 28. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and he told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. All right. So we'll see a little bit how John's gospel is different from the other three with this interaction with Pilate. The Jewish leaders, they take Jesus to Pilate, and Pilate says, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And, "Well, we need to put this guy to death." Well, take care of that yourself. I mean, Rome is there. They are occupying Jerusalem. But Rome's like, "Look, as long as you guys aren't rising up against us, we really don't care what you do. Your religions, your faith, your gods, your life, whatever. I'm here because I have to be here, and I am just making sure that I can send a good report back to the capital. All right? So you coming to me, with this man saying, I need to do something about him. Take care of him yourself. And they said, no, we have a law. God has given a law. We can't kill anybody. So you kill him. Which, again, I mean, perfect example of someone missing the point, right? We have a law that says we can't kill anybody, but it is perfectly okay with us if you kill this body. So God is still okay with us. Really? I mean, we see that, right? We look at that and go, what? What? But, again, and we're not going to come to your house either because we've got a Passover to celebrate. We need to celebrate God releasing his people from slavery. And we really wish that he would come and release us from you too. And so we're not going to defile ourselves with you lesser Gentiles. So if you will just come and clean up our dirty work, do our killing for us, so that we may be, that's what they've done. That's what they've done. So Jesus goes in with Pilate. Now what's different between this interaction is, this is the longest conversation that we have out of the Gospels. The other Gospels, all Jesus will say to Pilate is, and you've said so. You said it yourself. He doesn't say anything. But now, in John's Gospel, Jesus is having a conversation. Jesus is having a conversation. And here, Jesus is not hesitant. He's not silent. We are seeing Jesus in John's Gospel go to the cross with his head held high. There is no fear in him. He is not cowering. He is not weak. He's already been smacked. He's going to suffer further. He is going to the cross, and he's not wavering. He's not unsure of God's will for his life. He is marching forward to his destiny. He is marching forward to his destiny. And so Jesus, what he does is he demonstrates the power of truth. Now, Pilate, for his sake, he is trying to get out of this. He is trying to let Jesus go. He's like, I mean, I'm having the conversations with him. I don't really understand everything he's saying, but I don't find anything to kill this guy. I mean, he even comes out there and says, hey, you guys have a tradition. It's Passover. I mean, I want to be respectful to your religion and to your traditions. I want to be tolerant. And you have the right to have me release a prisoner, and got a prisoner right here. Be wonderful for you to let him go. And they say, of course, no, that's not the one we want. We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Kill this guy. Kill this guy. Now, this interaction, what we see is as Jesus and Pilate are speaking, because Pilate asked him the question, so are you these people's king? Is this an insurrection that I'm witnessing and trying to be made a part of here? Is this a coup amongst their own people? Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, is that what they told you? Or do you recognize this? And again, look, it's your people that are doing this. This really isn't about me. And so Jesus tells him back in verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus is king, but Jesus is not going to just show up like our earthly kingdoms. Jesus is not just going to show up like some earthly leader, right? We're not going to elect Jesus Christ as the 40-whatever president of the United States and say, oh, well, there it is. There it is. Jesus just shows up and he's just going to be, a leader in God's image, but he's going to look like all the other leaders that we have, but he's going to be from God. Right? Guys, that is no different than the Pharisees' heart of, we know it's wrong to kill, but if you want to kill for us, we're okay with that. And again, I don't know, let's make it personal. Let's make it personal. We can see their hypocrisy, can we not? We can look at them and go, well, that's insane. How can you sit there and say, well, we serve God, so it's not right for us to kill, but if you want to kill him, go ahead. And how many of us have wrestled in our heart with, hey, look, I'm not going to hurt anybody unless they come to hurt me. I'm going to turn the other cheek till my cheek gets slapped. Right? I'm going to allow myself to suffer in the same vein as Christ until I actually suffer. You and I are just like him. You and I are just like him. Right? I mean, Jesus has said it right here. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, what would be the response? My servants would be fighting. What did Peter do in the garden? He pulled his sword out. He cut off an ear. He was willing to die for Jesus. He was willing to kill for Jesus. Church, we're no different. We're no different. We think we're different. Why do we think we're different? Because we've never had an armed intruder walk in the back of our sanctuary bringing violence to God's house. But we're no different because you know what our reaction would be if such thing happened. Right? Whew. I'm willing to kill for Jesus. It's not what he calls us to. It's not. What does he call us to? He calls us to die for Jesus, to die to ourselves. He calls us to lay down our lives for the sake of others. And it's no wonder God's people didn't get it. This Gentile Pilate is not going to get it. What is truth? What does it even look like? What are we even talking about here? We are talking about heavenly things. We are talking about the things of God, the things that cannot be understood unless God gives you the wisdom to understand them. We are not talking about a collection, you and I, of finely dressed, well-intentioned, wonderfully nice, polite people who gather together on Sundays. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about Jesus saying, my kingdom is not of this world. God's kingdom, it did not originate here. So it doesn't play by the rules of here. It's starting to sound radical, isn't it? It absolutely is, church. The kingdom of God is absolutely radical. It is much more radical than what you and I have been willing to invest in. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's description of how the Gentiles live. He said in verse 17, I say to you, you must no longer walk, that means live your life, as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. So the Apostle Paul says, look, you are a new creation. You are in Christ. Your life is new. So you no longer live like all your heathen neighbors. And he was not talking about a lot of the things that you and I like to do and say, well, we're doing this for, this is what we do for Jesus. This is what we do for Jesus. He is saying you no longer live your life as they do because they don't even understand. They don't even understand. And Pilate's a wonderful example of this. Well, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus embodies truth. He is the truth of God. And Pilate's looking at him. He's hearing the words and he doesn't have a clue. He's like, your kingdom's not of this. What are you talking about of this world? I know this world. I know the kingdoms of this world. I know power in this world. I know everything in this world. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is saying we don't live like that anymore. We can no longer be Pilate. We can no longer be a Pharisee. We have to become like Jesus. That's the new self that Paul writes down there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. He says, put on the new self, the new man, created after the likeness of God. It is the image of God that we must bear. The image of God that we must bear. That's what Jesus does. Jesus didn't just come and say, hey, I've got some good lessons that I want you to hear. You know, here's some way, if it's not too much trouble, here's a new way to live your life, and it's going to make you a lot of money, and it's going to make your family perfect, it's going to put a smile on your face, and it's going to be easy, and you're going to be liked by everybody, and it's just going to make you popular, and all these wonderful things. Jesus does none of that. Jesus says, your old life filled with sin is gone. And now your new life, filled with the light of God. That's how you live. That's how you walk. That's the steps that you take, even in this world. Church, that's what we're called to do. And it is radical. It is dangerous. It is difficult. Why? Is it difficult because we look at Jesus and go, I just don't understand it? No, it's difficult because the world around us is no different than it was in the days of Jesus. Because the world around us still filled with sin, still ruled by the enemy, is wanting to take everyone with him. So he gathers troops, he gathers forces, and he uses darkness to surround us. And you and I, filled with the light of God, are walking around and living our lives and going to school and going to work and in our families and in our homes and this little light of mine, and we're just trying to let it shine, right? And all this darkness surrounding us. And church, how many of us, just this last month, you've just looked at your feed and you've seen the news and you're just like, right? I mean, there's just thousands of fish on the shore and the skies are red and the moon and rah! Look, I could give you one of those sermons. I mean, I could just stop our gospel story. I could take the headlines and go, here it is. But how many have been nervous? Right? I know some have been excited. But how many have been nervous? This stuff's weird. This stuff's crazy. What's all this going on? Church, you and I are a part of God's kingdom, and it's not of this world. That's who we are. It's who we've been made to be. It's who we've been made to be. So let's continue and take a look at this Jesus that we follow. John chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to him, "See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I don't find any guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You're not gonna speak to me? You're not gonna say anything? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you? Do you not realize how serious this is yet, Jesus? Do you not understand whose house you're in? You don't know who you're talking to? I mean, they brought you to me to kill you, and now you're gonna get all quiet? And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." I just want you to pause and just hear those words of Jesus. Do you not realize the power that is against you right now? Now look, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about last week. I want you to think about tomorrow. And I want you to think about the last trouble that you came face to face with. Why is this happening to me? Why is this so difficult? Why is this so hard? Jesus looks it right in the eye and says, you have no authority over me unless God gives it to you. You have no authority over me unless given to you by God. God is our authority. God's everybody's authority. God is everybody's authority. And some are using it for destruction, and some are using it for life. And Jesus here, he's not going to argue. He told him what truth was, but he's not going to argue. He's just going to let him know, whoever delivered me over to you has the greater sin. And you're just a puppet. That's fine. But God's using you to have this authority to end my life. And that's okay. That's okay. God has given you this power to end my life. And that's okay. I mean, you want to talk about a confession of faith, right? I'm okay with however God is using you to hurt me. I'm okay with it. I'm not even holding you accountable for it. Verse 12, from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. Now, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Now, church, I want you to understand the scene that is going on here. This is noon of the preparation day, the day before Passover. Okay? It is noon of that day. This day, we know Passover, right? The celebration of the final plague, hence God uses Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt, right? Okay, we're in the capital city. And to celebrate the Passover, the head of the household, they've had a lamb living with them for 2 weeks, okay? They had to have this lamb. It lived with them for 2 weeks. And then on preparation day, the head of the household would be responsible for either pulling or carrying this lamb themselves. And they would go up and they would wait their turn to meet the priest. And when they got to the priest would hand them the knife. And the head of the household would take that lamb, pull its head up, slit its throat, and the priest would give him a bowl, and they'd hold that animal, and all the blood would drain out of it. The head of the household would take that lamb back to their family, and then they would butcher, and then they would prepare and eat the meal. And all that blood would overflow the bowls and run down the steps. It would come out of the temple, off of the altar. By noon of preparation day, Jerusalem streets were usually filled with blood. And that is the day that God chooses. He chooses to carry Jesus, his only lamb, the head of the household, carries him up and allows him to be butchered, to shed his blood. Again, Jesus said, if you really understood the Father, you would get what was going on here. The Jews, they're looking at this, and they would love to have another Moses. They got Passover. They just want another Moses. Okay, they were under Egypt's rule, and Moses came, and then God destroyed all the firstborn. We got our freedom. We're just looking for another Moses, because now we got Rome. And Rome is doing the same, which they really weren't. But Rome's occupying. Rome is our new Egypt. We need God to send his Messiah to put a curse upon Rome and get us to freedom again. And what does God do? God carries his own son through these streets of Jerusalem. And God is going to allow his son as Messiah not to be the one that is going to stand up and lead them on a revolt and lead them through the streets in exaltation. God is going to allow his son to be the Lamb. That's how much the head of the household loves you. That he gave his only begotten son to die for your sins. His blood covers you so that destruction will not take you away. Jesus is the Passover lamb. And so in John's gospel, and putting all these things together, it's preparation day, it's high noon, and the streets filled with blood, and here you have Jesus, and he's about to walk through these streets. He's been flogged, he's been mocked, the robe is over his shoulders, and he's going to carry his own cross, and he's going to go through. And he's not bleeding, he's not scared or nervous, as you would imagine a lamb that was being carried by the head of the household. Fearless, triumphant, and knowing that all power is in God's hands. Church, whatever you face this week, you need to be fearless. You need to be fearless. You need to know that God has all power. And if something happens to you, guess what? God allows it to happen. Okay. All right. I was thinking through this lesson, and I'm reminded of Joseph's story. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph, because he had, what did he have? Oh, he had a coat, right? Yeah, you know the whole story. We don't have time to relive the whole story. Go back and read it. But you know what the last thing in Genesis chapter 50 that Joseph told his brothers when they finally realized, oh yeah, this is the brother that we hated and sold into slavery, and he's somehow alive and he's redeemed all of us. And Joseph, he looks at him and he says, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Church, if you just make that switch right there. If you just make that confession of faith and something bad happens to you, hey, you know what? Someone around me is meaning this for evil. God means it for good. If Jesus Christ can go to the cross and give his life, shed his blood, and die an innocent man, surely God means that for good. Israel should have seen it. The very ones who would not defile their hands should have seen it. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Because death is the illusion. Death is the illusion that will be overcome. And when we get to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we shall see reality of life. Reality of life. And church, when you and I have made our confession of faith, when you and I have been buried, when we have died to ourselves, when we have been buried in baptism with Jesus Christ and resurrected from the waters, Jesus is giving us new life. We are now remade into the image of God, and we can appreciate what has been done for us so that we can actually live the new life we have been called to. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus goes to the cross bearing our sin. Innocent, yet stricken by the head of the household, to redeem the whole house. God himself laid all of our iniquities on Jesus. God himself allowed the life to be taken from Jesus. And as the blood flows through the streets of Jerusalem, here is the Lamb of God. I mean, he told them what to do. He invited them to the sacrificial process. But the most important lamb to be slain is God's own son. God brought his own lamb to Passover that day. And so now you and I, when we show up today, we're not bringing our animal, are we? No, I'm not handing out knives. We don't have bowls up here for you guys to walk up here, bring the lamb for your family, slit its throat and say, okay, well, you know, we remember how God passed over the sins of his people while he brought destruction and judgment. That's not done anymore. Jesus was the final blood sacrifice. Jesus took the old way. And those of us who are in Christ, those of us who have accepted what Jesus has done for us, those of us who have been reborn in the new life of Jesus, we no longer walk in those old ways. We no longer live our lives fooling ourselves going, hey, you know, we can't kill them, but if you can take care of that for us, go for it. Go for it. We no longer walk in those old darkened ways of, oh, who can even know truth, right? You have your truth, I have my truth, everybody's got their own truth, and your truth is as valid as my truth. No! No, there is truth. It's not mine. I don't own it. It's his. It's his. Jesus embodies that truth. And the world around us, yeah, it's chaotic. It's dark. It's crazy, and it's dangerous. Jesus knew that, and God knew that, and he said the only way out of it is through the sacrifice that I will provide for all of you. And so, church, he just calls us to trust it. He calls us to trust it. He calls you and I to look at the Lamb of God. He calls you and I to open our eyes and open our hearts and see what God has done for all of us. He has put our sins on his only son. He has put everything that we have done and he has placed them on Jesus. And then Jesus is killed. And the story's not over. I know some of you have a long commute, but we got a few more chapters in John's gospel that we need to cover because the final word is, of course, resurrection. Where the Father says, you know that little death thing you're all worried about? I got it. I got it. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. If you need to become a Christian this morning, we invite you to do so. And if you are a Christian this morning, we invite you to be so. Let's do it. Let's stand together and sing.